Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we did the chapter on the prohibition of verbally abusing the dead without any need or any shari'i benefit. And then we gave some examples of what is meant by shari'i benefit. So today we start a new chapter, Babun Nahi Anil Idai, the chapter on the prohibition of causing harm, causing someone harm. This is the beauty of our deen, is that we don't cause anybody any harm. We are not here to cause anybody any harm. Again, this proviso is بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ وَمَصْلِحَةٍ شَرْعِيَةٍ. This proviso is always found. You'll find that unless there's some need in Shariat, then person causes harm. For example, person is in jihad. Now there's a need to cause someone some harm. Someone is attacking deen, attacking the Muslims. Now in a situation like that, we don't say we don't cause anybody any harm and we'll become oppressed and we'll let the enemies of Islam overpower Islam. In a case like that, if there's a need to harm somebody for the sake of deen, then we will do it. If somebody is a thief and he's stealing and now his hand needs to be cut off, then we won't say no, we won't cause anybody any harm, so we're not going to cut the hand of the thief. At that time, for the sake of justice, for the sake of fairness, for the sake of bringing some type of safety and security in the whole community, then the laws of Islam will be enacted. Why? There's some benefit, there's some shari'i benefit in cutting a person's hand. So like that, there are various examples. We did the example of a person being lashed for drinking wine, person getting lashed. Now that was the requirement in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. He made it 80 lashes for a person that drinks wine. Like that, if somebody accuses a free person of zina, the person didn't commit any zina. He's accusing that person, a muhsan, free person from zina. He's accusing him of zina. Then what happens? He also gets 80 lashes because of that accusation that he has made. So now we won't say that we're not causing any harm. So again, there's a beauty of Islam. The general rule is we don't cause anybody any harm. Don't cause anybody any taklif. This is the style of a Muslim. I don't cause any type of any inconvenience to any person. Whether it is physical inconvenience or physical harm, whether it's emotional inconvenience or emotional harm, whether it's verbal inconvenience or verbal harm, or whether it is financial inconvenience or financial harm, whatever it may be, I am a Muslim, I don't cause anybody any harm. This is the general rule. So then you get, as I explained, exceptions, but this is the general rule which we should practice upon. The first ayat of the Quran Sharif, or the ayat that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought here, قال الله تعالى وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ اِحْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. In Surah Ahzab, Allah Ta'ala mentions that those who cause believing men and believing women without any sin on their part, those who accuse, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَحْتَسَبُوا, those who accuse believing men and believing women without any sin on their part, will bear the burden of slander and a manifest sin. These people haven't caused any or haven't done anything wrong and they are now being accused. So what Allah Ta'ala is saying is that they will bear the burden of slander and a manifest sin. So this is not a small thing. So accusing a person is causing a person harm, whether it be emotional harm, but it's causing a person harm. First hadith, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه متفق عليه. حضرت عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe, and an emigrant, a muhajir, is one who abstains from what Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. Hadith mentioned Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, and others. So this hadith was mentioned previously, but just to recap, al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The first part of the hadith, a Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. So ulama discussed this in detail, that what is meant by this? That other Muslims are safe from this person's tongue and from this person's hands. In other words, when other Muslims are saved from his accusations, his abuse, they saved from his slander, they saved from his ghibat, they saved from any type of lies from him They save from any type of difficulty from this person's tongue and from this person's hands. And one beautiful point they bring out from this, why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mention first tongue and then hands? Because the tongue is the first thing that gets engaged. Before a person harms someone with his hands, the first thing that engages is the tongue. Normally there is an argument or there is a spat and there is a disagreement, and now the tongue starts working. So therefore Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling that person whose tongue and hands other Muslims are saved from. In other words, he doesn't even go into that level where there is now some type of arguing, there's some type of bickering, there's some type of fighting. He stays away from that, and he also stays away from any type of physical abuse to any type of person. This is the beauty of the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So imagine when one Muslim meets another Muslim, he knows that this person in front of me, he's going to be good, and behind me also he's going to be good, because I'm going to be safe from his tongue and I'm going to be safe from his hands. I'm going to be safe from him physically and I'm going to be safe from him emotionally. I'm going to be safe from him in any other type that a person can harm. One person can harm another person. I'm saved from him completely. I'm safe. This is why he starts off also his greeting with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That peace be upon you. You are safe from me. My hands, you are safe from my tongue, you are safe from me. You'll only get peace and tranquility, and you'll be happy to be in my company. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And may the special rahmat of Allah Ta'ala be upon you, and may the barakat, may Allah Ta'ala shower you with barakat. What a beautiful way of starting. This is a Muslim, whereas in a kufar system, you'll find morning, afternoon, evening. There's nothing to it, nothing. And ours, so beautiful words, so deep, an ocean of meaning, that one person doesn't know another person and he's starting off like that. That would mean you'll get peace. You don't have to fear anything. I'm making dua for you that the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala be upon you. And I'm making dua for you that Allah Ta'ala showers you with barakat. What a beautiful way to start. So this hadith got such deep meaning. Now you can take this and apply it in so many different situations. A simple situation, person coming to the masjid, he's not causing harm by blocking somebody that wants to leave. He may want to stay longer in the masjid, somebody else wants to leave, he's not blocking the person. I'm going to the block of flats, I'm going to see someone there, from the gate may be closed, and now what I do, I start hooting. Hooting from there so my friend from upstairs can press the remote and open the gate. But in that rush, how much of inconvenience I cause to all other people staying in the flats. Or even if I do it at a house, how much of inconvenience by hooting I'm causing to all the neighbors. I got dirt that I want to take out. I take my dirt packets out and I go leave it in front of my neighbor's house instead of leaving in front of my own house. Now what happens is I'm causing inconvenience to the neighbors. Or like that, if I take it out and leave it on the pavement, now people that want to walk, they'll all have to walk around the dirt. So like that, these are small, simple examples. If a person applies his mind, then he'll realize how much a person should be conscious not to cause anybody any inconvenience. There's an incident of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that we mentioned before, but it's coming to mind. I'll just mention it. That Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, these buzurgs also, they're so careful not to cause anybody any inconvenience, that if they are to take something from one place, they'll make sure that they'll return it to exactly the same place without leaving it somewhere else. So there was, for example, if I take one glass from the cupboard in the kitchen, when I'm finished with it, I'll ensure that I'll put it back. Or I get a plate, I took it out from somewhere, I won't just leave it lying somewhere in the dining room or in the lounge. After I'm finished, I'll take it and put it in its place. If it needs to be washed, I'll put it near the sink where it normally gets washed. If it doesn't need to be washed, and now it's clean, then I'll take it and put it back in its place if it needs to go back in its place. So like that, they were very, very careful that I shouldn't take out the lamp and somebody else needs to use the lamp. Now they're looking for it in the night, they can't find the lamp. So they would be very, very careful to put things back in the place. So on one occasion he had severe bout of diarrhea. So at night he was weak and he needed to use the toilet. Those days the toilets were outside, not like our toilets inside the house. So he took the lota from the place, he filled up the water and he went to go to the toilet. After he used the toilet, he came back and on the way from the toilet he fell down unconscious. And after a few moments, he regained his consciousness and he came into his room and he lied on the bed. In that weak state, he remembered that when I fell down unconsciously, then I forgot that lota. Lota is a jug a person uses in the toilet. I forgot it on the way. I never put it back in its place. Now, if someone, for example, my wife at night needs to use the toilet, they won't find that lota. I'll be causing them so much of inconvenience. In this weak, sick state like this, he didn't tell anybody anything, he didn't cause any inconvenience to his wife to wake her up. What he did, he himself woke up in the middle of the night. He went and took the jug and put it back in its place. Same time, not even delaying that. This is the pious people. These are the practice of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is to be hearing the words of not causing any type of harm. And other is to see how we can practically put it in our daily life, in everything that we do. So like that, the person, for example, is a cashier. Now he's careful. If I'm going to be dishonest with the money that I'm taking, then I'm going to be causing harm to my boss. I'm the employee. If I'm going to come late to work and I'm going to take my full salary, then I'm going to be inconvenient. I'm causing harm financially to my boss, so I'll be very careful. Like that, the person who is a boss, he'll ensure that if it is the 25th, my staff get paid, they must get paid by the 25th or before, but I mustn't cause them harm by delaying in payment till the new month comes. So like that, if we apply our minds, we'll see there's so many different instances a person can be causing other people harm. He must stay away from this. In tasawuf, there's one very, very major part of tasawuf, is kisi ko takleef mat do. Don't give anybody any type of inconvenience. May Allah Ta'ala give us also the tawfiq of making amal. We can see where this is coming from. The beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.